So good morning, and thank you all for being here. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk to you all today about the potential of soil health building practices to enhance crop yield resilience to drought. My name is Leah Renwick, and I'm currently a master's student in horticulture and agronomy at UC Davis. This morning, I'll be starting off with a brief overview of diversity and resilience, and then follow that up by how we've been experimentally testing drought resilience in corn soy rotation systems, and move into some preliminary results, then close with some outstanding questions that these have raised. So some work from Lesk et al. Just this year has shown that the magnitude of production losses due to drought has actually increased. So Lesk et al. Grouped years from the 1960s to 1980s and 1980s to 2000s and found that the magnitude of production loss due to drought, seen here as this dip in the line, relative to years before and after the drought, has actually increased, which raises some concerns, especially when we start to think about climate change. Some other recent work from Pittelkel et al., a meta-analysis in 2014, has showed that diverse rotations helped drive no-till yield benefits in water-limited environments. So they found that when no-till was combined with both crop rotation and residue retention, the yield effect compared to conventional yields was actually positive, which wasn't found when no-till was combined with only one or no of these other practices. So what is the relationship of crop rotation to soil health? If we go to the NRCS website, they highlight several practices, including disturbing the soil less, but also diversifying soil biota with plant diversity. And in particular, they highlight this concept of increasing diversity of crop rotation and cover crops to increase soil health and soil function. And in particular, the cover crop piece relates to keeping a living root growing throughout the year and keeping the soil covered as much as possible. This brings up the question, though, what is the actual functional significance of these soil health improvements for, in our case, drought resilience? And this is a question that the Godin Lab at UC Davis and the Dean Lab at the University of Guelph in Ontario, Canada, have been working on at the Alora long-term rotation trial. And I'll overview the trial in more depth in a bit, but just to overview, it's got seven different rotation sequences that are fully replicated with both till and no-till split plot treatments. So a few years ago, Godin and others analyzed about 30 years of data from the long-term trial and found that corn yield in hot and dry years increases with rotation diversity compared to a corn soy rotation. So down here on the left, this is in reduced tillage. In black, we have clusters throughout the 30 years of hot and dry years. And then down here on the x-axis, we have yield relative to corn soy, to corn yield in corn soy. And here we can see approximately increasing rotation diversity. And as rotation diversity roughly increases, we also see an increasing yield benefit. And this same trend is observed in tilled systems. So our next step in looking at this was to see if we could test this experimentally. And our research questions were as follows. One, what improvement in quantity, in terms of drought resilience, does rotation diversification provide? Secondly, what aspects of plant growth, development, or physiology underpin these yield gains, and then what further mechanisms might underlie those? So again, using the Alora long-term rotation trial, which was established in 1980, offers a really unique platform to explore these questions and look at the long-term impacts of different practices on soil as well as crop response. So here we can see the long-term trial. We have four replicates, of which we used three this summer. We have a number of different agronomic crops involved in the rotations, and each plot has a till and no-till split. So for the purposes of this experiment, for logistical reasons, we selected three rotations. These are all four-year rotations, and we took measurements on first-year corn. So our simplest rotation was corn, corn, soy, soy, and I'm happy to explain why we have 2 years of each if anyone is wondering at the end. Our intermediate diversity rotation was corn, corn, soy, wheat. And our most diverse rotation was corn, corn, oats, or barley with underseeded red clover. So the cereal and red clover are drill seeded together. The cereal is harvested in the midsummer, and then the red clover continues to produce biomass throughout the growing season. Each rotation plot was split into either a till or no-till treatment. And then this summer, for 2016, we overlaid a water treatment on top of that. So we had a simulated drought and then two controls, ambient rainfall and irrigated. So I imposed drought using below canopy inter-row rainout shelters with four adjacent to one another, and then took measurements on the center row here. The ambient treatment would have been here, and then we also had an irrigated control that was based off of evapotranspiration calculations to have as wide a range of water availability as possible. So here I wanted to summarize what the drought looked like to plant roots. On the y-axis, I have soil water potential. We have the summer across the x-axis. And you can see soil water potential, so driest in red are drought here. Green is ambient rainfall, and then the blue up here is our irrigated. In terms of the timeline of the experiment as it relates to the water treatments, this was when they were imposed in early July. Silking or corn flowering was at the end of July. We removed the water treatments at the very end of August, and then harvest was recently in mid-October. So I'm excited to have some preliminary results to share with you all. And to address this first question of what is the actual improvement in drought resilience in terms of yield due to rotation diversification, we found that yield increased significantly with rotation diversity. We have our simple rotation corn soy here, moving into intermediate, and then our most diverse rotation corn corn oats red clover barley red clover on the right. This rotation gain was observed across all of our water treatments. Here I have just our drought in red and irrigated in blue for the sake of clarity, but this trend was the same for ambient rainfall. And this slide also raises the question of what was the difference or the yield loss due to drought between irrigated and drought, and does that change as we increase rotation diversity? So I looked at this and found that the drought yield loss actually decreased with rotation diversity. So again, we have simple rotation here, diverse rotation here. And our yield loss under the drought treatment compared to irrigated was over 50% for corn, corn, soy, soy, whereas it was less than 40% in our most diverse rotation. So then I was asking, well, what aspects of plant growth, development, maybe physiology underpin these yield gains? And when we looked near silking at both crop height and canopy development, we again found that they were significantly and positively affected by rotation diversity. So on the left, I have freestanding height increasing with diversity. And on the right, I have leaf area index, surface area of leaf per surface area of soil. This switched around. Anyway, we have, this is actually our most diverse rotation. And simple intermediate. Sorry about that. In terms of physiology, we also interestingly found no significant difference in transpiration as measured by stomatal conductance between water treatments near silking in our most diverse rotation. So if we look in our simple rotation and even the intermediate one, we can see logically that stomatal conductance, so the flux of water out of the stomata, was significantly lower in a drought treatment compared to irrigated, whereas when we move across to our most diverse rotation, there was actually no significant difference in stomatal conductance between our water treatments, which implies that something was buffering water stress. These raise additional outstanding questions as to, again, why and what are the mechanisms that are underlying this, and brings us to a lot of avenues for further research, in particular around this question of why soil health might drive these yield gains. And there's a lot of discussion around benefits in terms of soil organic matter and thus water retention, but we think that there might be other ways that soil health might be affecting yield in this system in terms of soil structure and potential differences in root growth, or maybe nitrogen cycling? What about microbial communities? And then on top of that, how does tillage interact with all of those? But for now, based on our preliminary results, here are some take-home messages. One, yield increased with rotation diversity for all of our water treatments. Two, rotation diversity reduced drought yield loss from about 50% in our simple rotation to about 35% in the most diverse rotation. And our early results suggest that these yield gains are due to a combination of growth physiology and maybe phenological factors. And we think that these effects may be due to water, to improve soil and water conservation, but also other mechanisms related to soil health. So in conclusion, I would say that we think that these results highlight the potential or need for further research into these practices as a potential strategy to improving drought resilience and perhaps a complement to breeding efforts. And we need further research in terms of cultivars, geography, and whatnot. So thank you all for listening. Thank you to the many lab members, both in Davis and in Guelph, who supported this, to my PI, Amelie Gaudin, and my advisor in Guelph, Bill Dean, as well as our funders, the Ontario Ministry of Food and Agriculture, who is currently maintaining the long-term trial, as well as smaller grants and support. And I look forward to any comments, critiques, and questions. So the question was if these plots are subject to runoff or erosion. And if I'm going to go back to the outline of our plots. And as we move down from Rep 1 down to Rep 4, there is a slight slope that's been measured, but it's usually between 0 and maybe at most 2%. So there is a slight slope near the screen is slightly higher, and they slope down this way. And so I should be very transparent and clear that we did not fully randomize the water treatments precisely because of that issue. So we rototilled along the top to decrease runoff from the grass that's up here into our drought plots. I also ditched along the top of the drought to prevent runoff under the drought treatment, under the rainout shelters. And then I also created sort of an eaves at the bottom to divert water away from our irrigated treatment in order to know how much water we were inputting. And then we also ensured that the ambient plot was upslope in order to preserve the integrity of the long-term trial. So the question was if we were looking at differences in till and no-till, and we did, and I am still looking at a lot of the data. So here we have just yield as affected by tillage, and we did have a significant effect with slightly lower yields in no-till relative to tillage. I'm still getting data and kind of parsing apart some interactions we've found, so we're looking at that for future work. In the back. So the question is I mentioned kind of an interest in soil structure and roots and how that might be examined. And we took soil cores to look at root distribution with depth, and we're still processing them, and I'm excited to look at that data. Anecdotally, those who have had to dig in these plots have noticed that it's significantly harder in corn soy than in some of the more diverse rotations. So my hypothesis is that roots, which are extremely plastic typically, may also respond to differences in soil structure, whether due to tillage or soil quality.
Do you know if there are differences in
So the question, there was a lot of pieces in there, but I think it was whether we know if there are differences in soil, water holding capacity, aggregate stability, et cetera. There has been work done on aggregate stability several years ago, and I actually don't remember the results off the top of my head, but I could get them to you. And I know who you are, so I can actually get them to you. And I have cores that I am working on constructing the water retention curves for, and they're actually undisturbed cores. My hope is that will take into account, and we're also going to look at soil carbon and quantify that, but we're using a high-prop water retention system, so instead of kind of sieving and grinding core samples, and then your water retention is basically a function of soil texture and carbon, organic carbon. Because this system uses undisturbed cores, I'm hoping we may capture some of the soil structure effects on water holding capacity as well. Thank you very much.